afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I think you'd like to know that the Dorothy of the delightful Reeves family quartet is Mrs. C.W. Reeves, pianist and violinist, who has recently received an award of merit from the National Federation of Music Clubs for her wonderful work with strings. She is instructor of strings in Alachua County School System, directing the orchestra at Gainesville High School and Buchholz Junior High, and teaching string classes in 4 elementary schools in Gainesville. Included in her enthusiastic string players, as you can see, are her 3 daughters, Carolyn, Martha, and Florence. It's a pleasure to have them open this historic program this afternoon with their beautiful rendition of Stephen Foster melodies. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce Mrs. W.A. Saunders, Secretary, Stephen Foster Memorial Commission, who has been a hard-working, enthusiastic member of the commission since its inception in 1939. Mrs. Saunders.
It gives me pleasure to greet you in the name of the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission. Mr. Earl W. Brown of DeLand is chairman. Mr. Joe Cawthon of Orlando is treasurer. Mrs. Henry G. Miller of Jacksonville is a member. And Mrs. Lamar Bledsoe of Tallahassee. So, from the members of the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission, I greet you and tell you that we are so happy to have you here today. We are privileged to be able to celebrate National Stephen Foster Day, January the 13th, which was established and enacted by Congress in October 1951. The first observance of National Stephen Foster Day was held here at the memorial on January the 13th, 1952. Now, after that, the next year, our legislature, state legislature, designated the week of January the 13th through January the 19th as Stephen Foster Week for the state of Florida. Now, most instrumental in getting this established as a national Stephen Foster Day and as a state week was Mrs. Leon Whitehurst of Brooksville. We are honored this afternoon to have Mr. and Mrs. Leon Whitehurst of Brooksville among our special guests. In 1936, these people had the idea of establishing a memorial to Stephen Foster on the banks of the Suwannee River in Florida. So since 1936, through the Florida Federation of Music Clubs, they have worked unceasingly. And I'm going to ask Mr. and Ms. Whitehurst to stand. Now, another member of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs who has been most active through all of these years is Mrs. Sidney Godwin of Hawthorne, and we're so happy to have Ms. Godwin. Are there any other members of the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation in the house? If so, I wish you'd stand. I know there are many members of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs here, and all of the members have helped so much. Besides the corporation and besides the commission, there is another association which has been largely responsible for getting work begun on the tower after the appropriation was made by the state. And we have Mr. Emory Butler with us this afternoon from Lake City, and Mrs. Butler, And Mr. Butler is a member of this association. Mr. Butler, will you stand? Now, we are quite honored to have many other distinguished guests with us, whom you will hear from later because they will appear on the program. And thank you for coming, and please know that this memorial belongs to all of us. It belongs to the state of Florida and the nation and the world, and we love to share it with you.
It is a pleasure to introduce at this time Jane Richard Sterrett, soprano, who has done much radio and concert work. Jane is from Gainesville, and I want to tell you that when I called her late yesterday afternoon and asked her if she could come and sing for us because our 1955 genie, Mary Jane Marriott, is ill, she accepted without hesitation. At this time, I take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Sterrett, who will sing for us.
Introduce Jeannie. I thought you probably all knew Jeannie. This next one needs no introduction either, but I will tell you it is Beautiful Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Foster's song that not so many people know, one which represents Stephen Foster in a gay, more carefree mood. This is Some Folks Do.
Lakeland, Florida. Ms. Morrison is president of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs. She has worked for many years in the interest of the Stephen Foster Memorial and in making Florida more musical, in bringing the opportunities of music to more children in Florida. She's just a grand president and a lovely lady, and we are so happy to have Ms. Morrison, and she's promised to talk to us a little bit. Ms. Morrison.
I am indeed happy and honored to bring greetings from the Florida Federation of Music Clubs, one of the most progressive and highly esteemed of the 48 state federations that make up the National Federation of Music Clubs, the largest cultural organization in the world. I am proud that the national president of the National Federation of Music Clubs, Mrs. Ronald Dogan, referred to the Florida Federation of Music Clubs in a recent message as one that goes down the line in support of all of the Federation program. The Florida Federation is this year celebrating our 40th anniversary, and we look back over the 40-year history and find the accomplishments rich reward for the services given. On this occasion, we wish to bring honor and pay tribute to those of our membership that have contributed so magnificently to the Stephen Foster Memorial. The annual Florida Folk Festival and the Genie Competition and the Genie Ball. Back in 1936, in a state convention at West Palm Beach, Mrs. Leon Whitehurst, whom the members of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs affectionately call Beautiful Dreamer, related to the Federation her dream of a statue or a memorial to Stephen Foster on the banks of the Suwannee River, this to be a project of the Florida Federation. The Federation endorsed the dream and set about bringing it into reality. In 1938, in state convention in Miami, White Springs was selected as the spot for the proposed memorial. To bring the dream still closer to reality, A site of 4 or 5 acres was donated by Mrs. Watt A. Saunders and Mrs. Amy Mathers. This gift brought into being the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation with the power to accept the site and to receive gifts of money. Now, musicians are not usually considered to be good business people. Not so the members of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs. For by this time, the dream had crystallized into the form of a glorious amphitheater where folk festivals, Americana, and musical productions of all kinds might be presented, thereby making the memorial a practical one. To show we meant business, loads and loads and loads of marble were hauled to the site from Jacksonville, there to await the eventful day when we should start building. But the Second World War came along. Prices spiraled. The marble lay on the ground. The Federation and the corporation had no financial strength with which to raise the marble slabs and create the amphitheater, the dream of years. During this period, pioneering, we pay special tribute to Mrs. Edwin F. Montgomery of Lake City, Mrs. Watt A. Saunders of White Springs, Mrs. William C. Brooker of Tampa, Mrs. S. Leroy Smith of Miami, Mrs. C.J. Muir of Coral Gables, Miss Margaret Haas of Jacksonville, Mrs. Garland McNutt of Miami, and Mrs. Robert W. Roberts of St. Petersburg. It was about this time that a gentleman from the North, an admirer of Stephen Foster and a collector of Fosteriana, impressed his Florida friends with his idea of a memorial to Stephen Foster on the Suwannee River. So the dreamers combined forces, and the dreamers became realists. Mr. Lilly's friends had political influence. We decided to prove that the Friends of the Federation also had political influence. So, through hundreds of letters and telephone calls and telegrams to members of the state legislature, the State Stephen Foster Memorial Commission was created, and the state appropriated money, and the memorial began to rise. In 1951, in Miami, Mrs. Whitehurst, still the dreamer, proposed a resolution designated January the 15th as National Stephen Foster Memorial Day. It was endorsed by both the Florida Federation of Music Clubs, the Stephen Foster Memorial Corporation, and the National Federation of Music Clubs. Never underestimate the power of a woman. It was almost through the efforts of Mrs. Whitehurst alone that Congress designated January the 13th as National Stephen Foster Memorial Day. Mrs. Whitehurst knew personally all of the Wright senators and representatives. She made a trip to Washington, where she met with the committee and so convinced them that this day, January the 13th, the date of Stephen Foster's death, was designated by law to be National Stephen Foster Memorial Day. And through Mrs. Whitehurst's efforts, the Stephen Foster Week has been set aside by the Florida legislature as a memorial. How to keep the Federation on its musical toes in support of the original dream of the amphitheater brought forth another dream from our beautiful dreamer. This time it was a very glamorous one. It was the Genie with the Light Brown Hair competition and ball. For 3 successive years, Mrs. Whitehurst was hostess to the ball here at the memorial. The ball caught the attention of the National Federation of Music Clubs and was a part of the 1955 Biennial Convention held in Miami. The entire southeastern region of the National Federation of Music Clubs, composed of 14 states, participated. It was a great disappointment to the Florida Federation and to the southeastern region when the plan for presenting the 1956 ball here at the memorial had to be canceled. Now, the Federation is also interested in folklore and folk music of all kinds. But Miss Thelma Bolton has sparked that interest into active participation and support of the Florida Folk Festival. We have adopted the festival as one of our projects, and it is another way in which we support the Stephen Foster Memorial. We feel Miss Bolton is an asset of inestimable value to the memorial. The Florida Federation of Music Clubs does not have much on the financial side of the ledger, but we feel our contribution has been substantial in the hundreds of ways that we have been able to serve, the thousands of friends that we have been able to make for the memorial. Among these friends, one of the most cherished is Mrs. Marnowick, whom we are privileged to have with us this afternoon. Through publicity in state and national meetings, and through our national and
I wish I were a quartet of mixed voices, the better to present this next song to you. But even though I'm alone up here, I think it's too beautiful not to sing, and that is Come Where My Love Lies Dreaming.
Thank you.
be found in many books. I've never understood why collectors of Stephen Fosteriana didn't include it. It is, "Ah, May the Red Rose Live Alway." Another of Stephen Foster's gayer songs, "Camp Town Races."
Pleasure to introduce at this time Mr. Earl W. Brown, Chairman of the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission. Mr. Brown has been chairman since the inception of the commission. You know, one of my friends in Gainesville says that all of us should learn to do one thing supremely well. But Mr. Brown is a man who has done many things supremely well. As you know, he's immediate past president of the State Chamber of Commerce. He was, for many years, mayor and secretary of the Chamber of Commerce of DeLand, executive manager of World's Fair exhibits in Chicago, New York, and at the Great Lakes Exhibition. To fill in his spare time, he's a citrus grower, a cattleman, a great Floridian, our friend, Mr. Brown.
Madam Chairman, distinguished guests, fellow Floridians, it's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. Because of this meeting, we can say that we have passed another milestone in the development of the Foster Memorial. We at least can keep you comfortable here today because we have installed the full air conditioning equipment recently. And in the future, in the case of inclement weather, we won't have to use as crowded quarters, as we will have an auditorium in the base of the Carillon Tower that will seat several times the number that are here. And on our program, and now in the hands of the architects on their drafting boards, are the suggested plans for the Music Hall of Fame, the Music Hall, and the Musical Amphitheater, which are the final phases, together with the heroic statue of Foster, of the program as originally adopted by this commission and the music clubs and the governor and his cabinet. This afternoon, we are especially fortunate in having with us the greatest living authority on Stephen Foster and the man who has charge of the greatest collection of Fosteria in existence. He was born in Indianapolis, attended Harvard, got his degree, returned, engaged in the publishing business, and become associated with Mr. Josiah Kirby Lilly, the pharmaceutical manufacturer, who was perhaps the greatest admirer of Foster and his music in America, and certainly the man who backed up his admiration with more money in making collections of Fosteriana than did any other. Therefore, it was but natural that these two men should come together and that they should work together in the development of this great project. And it's also quite natural that upon the death of Mr. Lilly, that the speaker who I am about to and am attempting to introduce should carry on with the great Foster Hall collection of Fosteriana and should operate Foster Hall at the University of Pittsburgh. He's been of tremendous help to us here in an advisory capacity and also in influencing much of the documentary exhibits that we have here in this museum at this time. And we look forward to his help and assistance in the future. He has edited many important books on this subject that we all hold so dear, and no later than the current month, one of great importance was released in which he had charge of the editing and prepared the foreword. We have no greater friend of this memorial than this gentleman who is going to speak to us in paying a tribute to Stephen Collins Foster. And we look forward to the continuation of that friendship in the development of the final phases of the memorial, which includes, of course, the landscaping of the grounds, the Music Hall of Fame, the Music Hall, and the Musical Amphitheater and the Heroic Statue. And when this is completed in its entirety, I think that you're going to find that we have here a gift to the music-loving people of all the world that will be one of the major attractions, not only of our state, but of this great nation in which we live. And it won't be long before, we hope it'll be on Foster's birthday, July the 4th, that we can dedicate the Carillon Tower and the world's largest carillon of tubular drawing bells. And we hope this speaker can be with us at that time. It's a great pleasure for me to see this gentleman here today, as it was to all of us interested in this work. And it's an even greater pleasure to present to you at this time the Honorable Fletcher Hodges, Jr., curator of Stephen Foster Hall at the University of Pittsburgh. Mr. Hodges.
Mr. Brown, ladies and gentlemen, I think Mr. Brown was right in almost everything he said, except one thing. He said I was the world's greatest authority, alive that is, on Stephen Collins Foster. I'll retire from that position and accept the honorary position of second greatest living authority. I was seated on the platform next to a lady who, in my opinion, is the greatest authority still alive on Stephen Collins Foster, and it's my privilege to introduce her a little afterwards. Also, Mr. Brown, thank you for the addition of the words honorary to my name. Is that an official title I can take back to Pittsburgh and tell the boys and girls there with? Well, you know, it's very easy to, in your own hometown, just to have them think, oh, there goes that guy who works here at the university. Now, with your permission, I'll accept the title of honorable when I go back. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure, a very great pleasure indeed, for me to return to White Springs after a long absence. It was just 4 years ago, in January 1953, that I took part in a program here in this very room, and I can see that a great deal has been accomplished in the 4 years that have passed by. Congratulations, Mr. Brown, Mrs. Saunders, Mr. Barnes, and all of your associates. Here we are, assembled once more to pay tribute to Stephen Collins Foster, America's troubadour. He died just 93 years ago today in obscurity, even though temporary, in the charity ward of Bellevue Hospital, New York City. Ironically enough, that hospital ward was only about 10 miles from the present campus of New York University, where the statue of the composer stands, immortalized in bronze, as evidence of his country's appreciation of his genius. Today, Stephen Foster is at the height of his fame. Memorials to him have been established all over the country. We can visit the Hall of Fame for Great Americans at New York University. There are Foster Hall in Indianapolis, founded by Josiah Kirby Lilly, who has already been mentioned. There's the old Kentucky home at Bardstown, Kentucky, which no doubt some of you have seen on trips north. There's our own Stephen Collins Foster Memorial at the University of Pittsburgh. There are other evidences of America's love of Foster. The Stephen Foster Rose. There's another flower, the Stephen Foster Orchid. The Stephen Foster Stamp. An item that's very easy to get if you're interested in collecting stamps. The only place they can be obtained now, however, is through the University of Pittsburgh. So if you would like to have a green Stephen Foster cent, a Stephen Foster stamp with value of 1 cent, send me a penny postcard and I'll be glad to send you one in return. There's also a Stephen Foster half dollar, which is a very rare item, far harder to obtain. I would not be able to send you any Stephen Foster half dollars if you'd ask me for them. There's a victory ship in San Francisco in storage in the mothball fleet, which bears the name of Foster. There's a tugboat on the Mississippi that has a similar name. There is even a Pullman car named for our Stephen Foster. If any of you would like to ride on the Pullman that bears the name of Stephen Foster, I can tell you where it is. It's on the Louisville and Nashville run, train number 67 that runs between Cincinnati and Louisville. It's train number 68 from Nashville to Cincinnati. However, the finest memorial of them all, in my opinion, is your own Stephen Collins Foster Memorial here in White Springs. And credit for this magnificent project should be given to many people and institutions: the Commonwealth of Florida, the Stephen Foster Memorial Committee, the Florida Federation of Music Clubs, the staff of the museum, and a large number of interested individuals. It is so easy to take our famous men for granted. We can forget the blood, sweat, and tears which went into their labors on our behalf. It is a good thing for us to stop and think, occasionally, about what people like Stephen Foster have done for us. It gives us a chance, too, to consider what the true values of life are. January 13, our National Stephen Foster Day, is a time for just such thoughts about life. Stephen Foster was not a rich man insofar as this world's possessions are concerned. His earnings from his music were quite moderate according to present-day standards. He left no estate. He left his family, however, an honored name that they can all be proud of. But he did leave a wealth of spiritual riches. He wrote more than 200 songs and compositions, and some of these works have become a part of our American heritage, as all of you here well know. They have also become a part of the world's cultural heritage. These simple, sincere heart songs of Stephen Foster, gems of their kind, will be sung long, long after all of us here are gone. They have been sung and loved for over 100 years. They will be sung and loved through the centuries to come. The works of such masters as Mozart and Haydn and Beethoven are immortal. So are the melodies of Stephen Collins Foster. We Americans can be proud of Stephen. He is our contribution to the world's folk music. He can be compared to Robert Burns of Scotland and Franz Schubert of Austria as a composer who has created music which all the people can understand and love, no matter whether they have a formal musical education or not. Stephen Foster's themes are close to the hearts of all of us. He wrote his songs not so much from the mind as from the heart. It was not so much what Stephen thought that mattered. There are other people who have composed music from the intellectual point of view who have far surpassed Stephen Foster in this respect. It was what Stephen felt that matters to us now. And no one has written of fundamental emotions of life and love and happiness more deeply than has Stephen Collins Foster. Such things as love of home, love between parents and children, love between brothers and sisters, friendship, Longing for Youth and the Days Gone By, these are the themes with which Stephen Foster created his greatest songs. Stephen simply intended to portray one race of people, one section of our country, and one period in our country's history when he wrote his songs, yet through his genius, his songs have crossed the boundaries of space and time and express universal thoughts and emotions. In no song does Foster reach greater heights than in Old Folks at Home, which is known to millions of people the world over as Way Down Upon the Suwannee River. Stephen Foster has made the Suwannee River a mystical symbol of many things. It has become a stream of four dimensions rather than three. The element of time has been added to its other qualities of length and breadth and depth. It has encircled the globe, winding its way around the hearts of men everywhere. It has become a symbol of man's vague, lost, wordless dreams, of homesickness and time sickness, of joys that have vanished, of unattainable longings. Stephen Foster constructed far more soundly than he ever dreamed. When he composed this song in Pittsburgh over a century ago on the valued relic here on the platform with me now, he could not possibly have known what it would mean to the people of that generation and of the generations to come. Without any intention of so doing, he made the world a better place to live in for all of us. As a Northerner and as an adopted son of Stephen Foster's home state of Pennsylvania, may I say thank you to all of you, you Southerners and Floridians, for what you have done to honor our hometown man from Pittsburgh. It is always an inspiration for us to see what you are doing here in Florida to keep green the memory of our Pittsburgh composer. We must work hard in our own memorial in Pittsburgh to maintain the high level of accomplishment which you have established here at White Springs. Among the most pleasant parts of the Stephen Foster work has been my association with other people who are interested in this same subject. I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge in public the help and the friendship of so many fine people here in Florida, people like Mr. Earl Brown, Mr. and Mrs. Saunders, Mrs. Leon Whitehurst, and Mr. and Mrs. Foster Barnes of the staff. There are two others we will see later in the program, whom I will not speak of at this time. I have enjoyed your Florida hospitality on a number of occasions. Speaking on behalf of the University of Pittsburgh and the Foster Hall staff, may I extend a cordial invitation to all of you to visit our own Foster Memorial in Pittsburgh. I would like to show you our own brand of hospitality in Pennsylvania. It's an honor indeed to have a share in today's program and to be present at this historic event. Thank you for inviting me to come. I hope that the cordial relations existing between our two institutions in White Springs and in Pittsburgh will continue for a good many years to come.
I thought I would tell you that this next selection is Open Thy Lattice, Love, which was his first published song. Stephen found the verses to this song in the New Mirror, a Saturday paper edited in New York by George P. Morris and Nathaniel Willis. The verses were written by George P. Morris, and they appeared in the Mirror in the autumn of 1843. So that Stephen would seem to have been 17 rather than 16 when the music was composed. John Tasker Howard says the poem has been set to music by another composer several years earlier, a fact noted under the title when the poem was printed. Joseph Philip Knight, the English songwriter who composed the music to Emma Willard's poem, Rocked in the Cradle of the Deep, while he was in America in 1839, made a setting of Open Thy Lattice, Love, published in 1840. It is interesting to compare Knight's music with the song Stephen Foster composed. Knight's setting is more musically, more musicianly, and more resourceful in his development of melodic theme and idea. Foster's song is far more spontaneous and is very often sung today, while Knight's is forgotten. This is Open Thy Lattice, Love.
Thank you.
I didn't know until about an hour ago that I was going to be on the program twice. When the Foster Hall work was underway in Indianapolis, Indiana, in the early 1930s, I was told that a niece of Stephen Collins Foster was coming to see us there at the original Foster Hall in Indianapolis. I expressed interest at this and a great deal of pleasure that I was going to meet a relative of the composer in person. Esther J.K. Lilly said to me, she is a very remarkable person indeed, not only in her own right, but also because her grandfather was born in 1775, the same year that Paul Revere had his famous ride up in Massachusetts. I said, well, she must be a very, very old lady then, isn't she? He said, you wait until you see her. You'll really be surprised. Well, I was, because an hour or so after that, a healthy young lady walked into the building, and I was introduced to Mrs. Alfred C. Marnovec, the person who was closest in bloodline and in generation to Stephen Collins Foster. I said to her, after I'd got over my first astonishment, is it true that you have a grandfather who was born in 1775, just after Paul Revere had his famous ride? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you don't mind if I express my surprise? She said, no, but I can answer the question that you want to ask me. I was the youngest child of, almost the youngest child in a large family. There's an awful lot of spread in years in a process like that. Well, her father was Morrison Foster, the older brother of Stephen Foster, who was probably the member of the family who appreciated the most, more greatly than any of the others, the significance of Stephen Foster at that time and his significance in the years to come. And it was through Morrison Foster's love of Stephen, his admiration of Foster, and perhaps, and Evelyn Foster Marnovec can correct me on this, perhaps just a tendency that I have myself, which is simply to save everything that comes in the front door of the house, we acquired a large proportion of the manuscripts and the first editions that we now have in the Foster Hall collection. Through the saving of Morrison Foster and through the generosity of his daughter, Foster Hall acquired a fairly high percentage of the original material of value which it has in the Foster Hall collection. She was of great help to us throughout the years. She advised us, she saved us from mistakes, she made it possible for us to acquire material, and she contributed a remarkable work to the Foster world. And that is the two-volume biography of Stephen Foster and his family, known as Chronicles of Stephen Foster's Family. She's not only an author and an editor and an authority, but she's also a genealogist. A large number of the questions that I can't answer myself, I simply shipped down to Stuart, Florida, for Evelyn Foster Marnovec to take care of. If any of you here think you might be related to Foster, the person to ask is not me, but the lady who I'm about to introduce to you, a friend and associate in Foster work for a large number of years. And since she and her husband have worked together and have made a marvelous team in this work for so long, I'm going to introduce not only her, but her husband too, Evelyn and Alfred Marnovec, the closest living relatives of Stephen Collins Foster.
Things about me that I don't deserve, but I'm not going to make a speech. I'm just going to thank him very much. It's lovely to be appreciated and have people say nice things about you. I just want to tell you how grateful and happy I am to be able to leave this dear old desk that we have all loved so much in this hallowed spot. It's been dragged all over the country from the time we first had it. It's rested on the banks of the Ohio River, on the banks of the Monongahela River,
on the banks of the Lake Erie, on the banks of the Detroit River, and then on the banks of the St. Lucie. Well, it was a problem because I didn't want it to go to pieces and something happened to it. And then, lo and behold, we stopped at this marvelous place on the banks of the Suwannee River, where Uncle Stephen helped my father and Uncle Stephen worked out the name of the song, Suwannee River. And now there's rest for the sole of her foot right here for the rest of time, I hope. And I'm very thankful and glad to have found this marvelous place and these kind people who have done so many, many things for Stephen Foster. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Governor Collins and the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission, we thank you for this, what we consider the finest of anything that could be put in our building. We assure you it will be preserved and it will be protected, not only for the great number who are going to visit this memorial in the future, but for all time, as it now comes under the police protection as well as our protection of the state of Florida. Thank you so much.
It is highly appropriate that we complete this momentous program with the audience joining Mr. Sterich and the musicians in the singing of Way Down Upon the Suwannee River.